to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband leaving a video voicemail again because there are lots of things happened over the weekend and even today that I would like to share with you. And obviously, since this is ignored, it'll be online for perhaps some, and the plan will be put on a DVD because some things are kind of important that I hope you will find today. And just like I did with the video that I did where I talked about Ethan McCord, Michael New, on the DVD I have Collateral Murder and Good Conduct, the two other videos. I'll do the same today with a couple of videos, The Bible and Science on Gender, Sex, and Marriage from Genesis Apologetics. Superb. It's absolutely superb. But you know, how unusual. I took a hike today, and in the process, as I was walking by a library, there were two young gentlemen sitting on some stairs, and we got into a brief conversation because the one gentleman said, I think probably 20s. One gentleman said that, "Oh, I see you walking a lot," you know, because the thing I've pointed out is that when somebody drives a car around a lot, well, you don't notice the cars, but there's something different. It stands out when you see there's that same person walking again, and especially their distinctive characteristics. My characteristic, I have my bag, my hemp bag over my shoulder, and the other thing that people have commented about is the speed at which I walk. But so I've been noticed by many, and of course these two young guys, or one of them at least, mentioned. The other guy didn't basically say a thing. The thing that really concerned me about them is their intense focus on their cell phones, not with each other. The one guy, again, he's completely oblivious. But the other guy did talk with me, but he still had that clinging to the cell phone, which was a concern. And he said he's also an avid marker, which is, you know, that part I'm encouraged about because... as I think I've pointed out, I listened to a gentleman, Denis Rincourt, who I've listened to a lot because he was a university professor in Canada and has been able to, he articulates well scientific information and doesn't give you what's politically correct, but gives you, here's the evidence, this is what the evidence points to. And one of the things he said, it included a change in his lifestyle, is that, my assumption was, and I guess so was his, that the most important factor of being healthy and living, you know, and longevity was diet. And apparently he looked through a collection of studies and found, no, the number one factor is not diet, and it's not exercise in general, but specific exercise is walking. Which kind of like, oh, wow. The number one factor, apparently, in keeping you a healthy lifestyle and longevity, apparently, is walking. So it was kind of like, oh, 2 points for me. But anyway, I found that encouraging. But in the process today, I went and saw some people. I haven't seen my friend Mike Day in months. Last two times I went to see him, he either wasn't there or I went and I saw his door was open and he was asleep, and it didn't seem appropriate to wake him up just to say hi. He's 75, and we've done a lot of things together, as I've mentioned before, but when I saw him this time, he didn't look 75. He's thin. He's, you know, light and so forth. But he's been healthy, for his age, and quite healthy in general. He has various issues, but in overall health, he's been pretty healthy. But when I saw him today, he looked like an old man. I mean, he looked like he's well into his 80s, and he's 75, and it concerned me. So I was grateful I got to see him. It was probably one of the shortest visits ever. But that concerned me because I saw someone that I've tried to befriend, try to care for, try to love as a human being created in the image of God. And, you know, there's problems. But that was amplified because I went to a couple stores, then went to see, because I normally stop because it's right there, and see my friends Lynn and Gary. Said some hi's to Gary and so forth because, you know, he's limited access considering he doesn't get around as much considering he only has one leg. But Lynn was laying on the floor. And Gary said he tried to get her up, help her up, but he couldn't. He sits in his chair and when he stands with one leg, he doesn't balance very well. And he's been in that chair for like 7 years, so which is... So could I help? And yes, I did. And this really had an impact on me. So Lynn's laying on the floor and next to a couch, and the objective was simply to get her on the couch. So I figured how to do this politely. You know, I took both her hands, put the two together in one in order to lift her up a bit to get my arm under, not her head or her back, and then laid her hands on her stomach and then grabbed her legs, and then it was a fairly easy lift. It wasn't quite right because I was trying to be polite and I was probably too far down on her legs, so she was, you know, kind of anyway, but got her up on the couch, and it was fairly easy. You know, one thing that encouraged me, it was, you know, she's light in the first place, just over 100 pounds. You know, I was encouraged that it was really easy for me because I really think that the thing that's really changed my arms is jumping jacks, because I put some effort into the arm movement. My arms have changed radically. You know, the walking has changed my legs radically. But so I was encouraged by that, but I was really nervous because I picked up a woman today. And that really got to me. Picked her up as an act of love to put her on the couch. It really got to me. It's the kind of thing, you know, for my wife, not a problem. Great joy. And I would do it a little bit more. I would have a little bit more freedom to do it in what we might say a more gentle way. But I try to be maybe excessively respectful. So it was kind of clumsy. But, you know, obviously I thought about my wife a whole lot. Because that's the kind of thing, to be able to care for her, which I've had the opportunity in the past, and she's now denied me for almost 9 years. One other thing on picking up Lynn, it also reminded me of the one day, a little over 20 years ago, about 25 years ago, where I was in the hospital spending time with Aaron Ketro. And he's constantly in this bed, brain tumor, 9 years old, spent a lot of time with him. His mom was there, and it's kind of like, let's get him out of this room. So I had, what I still claim today as a remarkable privilege. We adjusted various things because he had, you know, things attached. So I made some adjustments. And then I went, like I did today, reached my hands under his body and picked up Aaron Ketro. Had this young guy in my arms. gently laid him in a chair, and then we took him to a place where he was not quite outside, but he was able to be out of his room for a while. And that's one of the highlights, I think, of some of the joys I've had in life. That moment of picking up this guy who, not too long, I mean, days, maybe weeks later, was dead. But to be able to pick him up meant a lot to me. And I was reminded of that again with Lynn today. Because Lynn's light. And Aaron was quite light too, because he had lost a lot of weight already being in that bed for some time. But anyway. So those things impacted me. But also in a recent video, I made the comment about my kids. I think it was specifically towards Walter and Zadok. And the statement I made was that I may never see them. And that was an impromptu statement, and it hit me hard. Because, you know, especially going on 9 years now, I mean, we're like a week away from it being 9 years since I've seen Walter and Zadok and Glory Jane and Susanna and George. I have seen Julia. Oh, that embrace of Julia some years ago was marvelous. I saw Jack. I was able to give him a hug. That was, again, years ago. I haven't seen Tirza or Erica Lee, but I have her book, and I have talked with Erica Lee on the phone a couple times, although not of late. But it's given me some time to think about that. There's a real possibility I will never see my wife or kids again. And it's not a joyous thought at all. It's one that I lament over. And there's a vehicle pulled into the driveway, a couple of flags, and apparently a loud radio. Very strange. Because, you know, shared driveway with my neighbor. But anyway. I want to make it clear so my kids know. Obviously, I've stated before, I didn't abandon them. I was abandoned. If, however, they find out and they have a desire to contact, interact, or physically be with their dad, I'm here. As I say, as long as I have breath, I'm available to my kids. No matter what has happened, including some of the things that have been said by some of the older kids, I'm here for you. I won't cast you out. And as I've stated, you know, right now I'm in a 3-bedroom house, and if you need a place to stay, as I've stated, as most of you should know, I've stated so often, my home is your home. I will never cast you out. You may have heard that line before. It stands. Then there's my wife. Of all things in this world that I want back, it's my wife. Unquestionably, without hesitation. There is a real possibility that the door is closed permanently. I don't know that for sure, but I love my wife. And even if she has or will close the door permanently, my love for her remains. I'm in love with my wife. My desire for her reunification remains. And a very related thing is, I have discussed before, Genesis apologetics. They did the video about what was it called? Debunking Evolution. It was a series they did, and the lesson one, or they had two characters, John and Jane. And, that alone hit hard, but the presentation was fantastic. The arguments given were superb. John took the creation perspective. He wore a t-shirt, said creation on it. Jane took the evolution position and wore a t-shirt, said evolution. And they went back and forth. Superb, because they rationally presented the arguments from both sides. But there was obviously some issues with the way the evolution side was presented, simply because it's shaky ground. And at the end, she takes her evolution t-shirt and rips it off, and below it is the creation t-shirt. And the way that was done was superb. And then, she comes, then she steps up towards the camera and says, I really hope this makes you think. Because they used reason, evidence to show the merits for creation. The stories, it was extremely well done. They also did a one called Foundations Movie, which, because I did the Foundation series, that's superb too. I mean, but they also gave me written permission to put their videos on my server. So as of moments ago, the scientific differences between genders can be found and downloaded at genesisapologetics.shofarnexus.com. It is still a demo site. There are things that I want to do with it, but I do not have the time or the resources to do it. But I'm accumulating things, and I'm about to add yet another one from a third party, a foreign party. But anyway, that's another issue. I highly recommend it. The links will be, I mean, well, I'll give you the link to my page so you can watch it in YouTube, or you can watch it on genesisapologetics.shofarnexus.com, or you can download it so you have your own copy. You don't have to go through the know how to use a program, because obviously I have the tools where I can download a YouTube video, and it's not straightforward unless you are at least slightly computer literate, but so I have it. One click button, just download it. There's no additional software or whatnot taken, and that's part of the purpose behind that. And again, I am delighted that I have written permission from them to do this, and it's there. And I hope it gets used because it's fantastic. It is fantastic. So anyway, I wanted to let my family know all these things. I wanted to let you know about the event today of picking up Lynn. It was a really big deal to me. It's like 8 months ago or so, late spring, early winter time frame, walking the Greenway, and I walk for 5 minutes hand in hand with Oscar, who was 3 years old, if I recall correctly. Oh, that had an impact on me. Was a joy. To have somebody else's hand in your hand, especially a young child, is fantastic. I used to do that a lot with my wife. Oh, yeah, actually. This picture? My hand? My wife's hand. This was a rather common occurrence. My kids may know this too. This was a rather common occurrence. And, on that, I got the 250, and there's a bit of a gap here because they're going out one a day. And I have some DVDs to send out. I need to go to the post office to get stamps. You know, I'm a little behind on that. But anyway, but I do have my roll of stamps for the postcards. So the postcards will be going out. The DVDs, hopefully Wednesday I'll get some stamps. And maybe this, and again, the one on, it's called Michael New. Ethan McCord, You and Me. And I've had some interaction on that. I had an interaction that led up to that. I would suggest it's strong and it's worthy of your time. And I'm going to make, they'll go out to a lot of people because, again, like that, where I have collateral murder and, good conduct, those two videos with my video on that. I'm going to do the same here with the scientific differences between genders. Because, and I know I could be arrested for saying this, literally, there's a difference between men and women. It's a biological difference. It was put in by God when God created them, male and female. Again, direct quote from the Bible. People are literally arrested for proclaiming that in England and in the UK. In the UK and in Canada. Anyway, because like I say, I have a lot of respect for the deeds of exposing collateral murder by Bradley Manning, who now wants to be called Chelsea Manning. And I think he's had surgery and hormone treatments and whatnot. He's a man. He may dress like a woman. He may have the fatty parts of his body have shifted some. He's a man. You can't play God. There's only one God. And he defines if you're male or female. That was him and him alone. And the mechanism he uses Genesis apologetics. It's a short version and a longer version. The long version, 20 some minutes, goes into some remarkable details. I learned a lot more of things that have been discovered. How, what happens when the sperm unites with the egg? What's happened then is just fantastic. And there's one more thing. Okay. No, there's two more things. I'm sorry. One was. You may or may not be familiar with, well, there's a place called Europe, a little bit east of us, and on the southwest part of Europe is a country called Spain, and there's Portugal, that's kind of the big chunk there. But within Spain, there's a region that is apparently, and I only know this from a distance, but, because I have been to Spain. I have spent an hour in Madrid at the airport. I went from Germany to Madrid, Spain, to Athens, Greece, straight line, right? But anyway, so I've been in Spain for an hour. But Catalonia is kind of like a corner, and apparently very productive in the sense of agriculturally. I think it's a disproportionately large percentage of the economy for its land mass and so forth. And there's some cultural differences, and there's been an attempt for a long time to separate from Spain. And what was it, a year or 2 years ago, there was a referendum. And that didn't go over well with the Spanish authorities, and they came in with their police, arrested the leaders, because I think the referendum passed, and they sought help from the European Union and ended up being arrested, and they've been in prison for like a year or two, and now were just released a few days ago, and. The guy, I think he's the head or he was number two. I think he was ahead. Saw an interview with him at his home, and his wife was sitting next to him. This man stood on the conviction, no, we need to separate from Spain. We are a different people than the Spanish. And he was willing to spend time in prison. And he still stands on this, even after being in prison for 2 years. And the thing that I saw that was most important, his wife stood with him. Remarkable. Of all the whole story was for that point. He's striving to do something difficult. The rightness or wrongness of this is not the issue. His wife stood with him. That was clear. Remarkably clear. Anyway, the last item. I describe myself as an observer of the debate between the gravitational model of the universe and the electric model of the universe. I will contend that I think the evidence is very strong. The electrical model works. And because there's a fight against this because it gets rid of the Big Bang, it gets rid of black holes, it gets rid of so many things that the scientific, so-called scientific community embraces, because if you get rid of the Big Bang and the billions of years, you get rid of the basis for evolution. And what is the purpose of evolution? As Huxley said, to get rid of God so we can have casual sex. I mean, this is history. So you have to fight against that. And when somebody brings evidence that the world isn't billions of years old, the evidence is overwhelming. And it's just remarkable how it's done. It's the Thunderbolts project, thunderbolts.info. There is a related thing called the Sapphire Project that I've discussed before, where they've basically reproduced the sun in the laboratory. Because the sun is not a regulated hydrogen bomb. No, that model doesn't work. It's really an electric light bulb, effectively. It's really what it is. But again, I'm an observer from this because I have a vague understanding, not the depth, but it's fascinating to listen to people who have the depth and can articulate well the merits of the electric universe model. But there's a related thing, just like the Sapphire project is related to the Thunderbolts. You know, they work on different aspects, but they're, you know, they have that fundamental thing. And one of the things that is also related that I just found some marvelous videos on, and there's a gentleman who does some videos called See the Pattern, where he explores a lot of things about. And what he did many months ago, he did a series on an explanation of the atom, because I thought the way I was taught, and I assumed, you know, the atom in the nucleus are protons and neutrons, and electrons are flying around. And the evidence is wrong. And it's kind of like, and apparently this is known. And that's why you'll find, you know, for example, you look at CERN. You know, CERN has a reputation because it's huge. There's a lot of money spent and so forth. And they looked for the so-called God particle, the Higgs boson. They're doing all sorts of stuff. And they, you know, pat each other on the back. And we're wonderful stuff. They have lots of money and whatnot. And, of course, Tim Berners-Lee worked there for a while and developed HTML and the World Wide Web. Came out of that. That's where it was seeded, basically. But what they're looking for, and they're explaining things with quarks and various different and things and so forth. And the arguments are totally bogus. Because if you look at things like dark matter, the reason dark matter is talked about is because the formulas they put together, the measurements and whatnot, they don't work. So they generated something. They say, "Oh, well, here's something we can't see, but because we have these formulas, we know our formulas are true, but they don't work. Therefore, we're going to invent dark matter in order to make our formulas work." Rather than use the what's called the scientific method, say this is our formula, and we look at it and say it doesn't match with reality, so we don't adjust the formula, we change reality. The technical word for that is stupid. But anyway, so where is the foundational problem? Just again, like the foundational understanding of what the scripture says, where was the foundational problem? One of the foundational problems is the atom. The atom is not made up of protons, neutrons, and electrons. It's made up of protons and electrons. The neutron doesn't exist. That's their argument. And there's a site, structuredatom.org, that explains this. And I've heard about this many months ago. And I just saw a new thing that explains it so well. Because one of the things, when I was in junior high, I was introduced to the periodic table of the elements. And I thought, okay, great. Why? Why is it that way? And the model they show in the structured atom model, there's the standard model and the structured atom model. They call it SAM. Structured atom model explains that table. It suddenly makes sense. There's reason the way these exist. It's fantastic and it's simple. Because I've heard a lot of people argue that the popular scientific community will talk to you about strong force and weak force, nuclear forces that hold the atom together, and there's the electromagnetic force, and there's gravity. And I've heard from like Thunderbolts that no, there's the electromagnetic force, and that's it. And with the structured atom model, it's more evidence to show that's it. It's simple. And it's just marvelous. And the whole point of dwelling on this, well, two reasons. One, I would love to share this with my kids. I would love to be able to go and say, one of the great mistakes I look at my growing up in the 60s and 70s, movies were a big deal. Come home from school, have dinner and whatnot, and watch TV with the family. That's the structure I grew up in. And I knew there was a problem with that, but I did it anyway. And so with my family, we didn't have TV, but we had movies. Big mistake. Really big mistake. I haven't seen a movie in years. You tell me about current movies? No idea. Okay, I've seen what do they call them, docudramas. For example, the one about Rembrandt, Tortured for Christ. I've seen that, and I saw the one about Unplanned. Of course, that's been 2 years too. But so that's about the closest thing I get to a movie. Most of the things I walk. About because that's why I can tell you about things that happen in Catalonia, or things that are I can tell you about what's going on in Syria, Iran, Iraq, and things of that nature, Yemen. I know a little bit about what's going on in the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo, what's happening in somewhat in Venezuela, and is it Colombia that has the issue? Anyway. I'm a little bit, and then of course, I do things like the Thunderbolts stuff, because that gives me a breadth of area that I don't stop, that I don't you know, it's not what I'm deep into, and then obviously a lot on theology, and when I do the theology, I don't only go to people I agree with. I found an excellent recently an excellent Muslim site that I've found delightful, which takes perspective. I was reading an article on their perspective on who Jesus is. Yeah, because Jesus is in the Quran, the prophet Jesus, or as they would say, the prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. But the, he is a creation of Allah and just a man with a specific, and he was born of a virgin, according to the Quran, but he had a specific purpose and he did not die on the cross, according to the Quran. But see, it's not, the objective here is not to belittle a Muslim, oh, you got it wrong. Well, I will contend they do, but I'll respect their understanding of it and then try to interact with them rationally, not condemningly. Because I didn't start out as a follower of Christ. So, I've repented of a whole lot of things. Is the door open to anybody? Yes, including the atheists, the Muslim, and those in the institutional church. And again, some of my best friends subscribe to the teachings of Joseph Smith. And I will claim they're wrong, and they will claim I'm wrong. And we are friends. And then those who say, oh yes, we follow the Bible, but don't talk to that man. Anyway, I would like to encourage my family not to give them more movies, but interact with them. Especially, my young guys. The structured atom model thing would be great. I got ridiculously long. There is the, years ago, we went and got the software that gives you, allows you to examine the human body. We didn't make good use of that, which is unfortunate. It was a mistake. But it's those kind of things. I want my kids to be able to think. There's a store that I've gone to, and I was there today, and twice at that store. And the irony was, twice for me today and some months back, but then for me and the person in front of me, the girl at the register had trouble making change. Now, there are times when there are some people who, math is a problem. But overall, the general ability to count. I learned in high school about the idea of shortchanging, the technique of trying to confuse the person behind the register in order to steal from them. I learned about that technique. I said, oh, that's theft. I'm not going to do that. But I said, okay, I see how you can do that. And I've been... Because I learned about that, whenever I get into a situation where I'm at the register and there's a bit of confusion, I try to make sure, okay, reduce the complexity here. If instead of pulling out some change or try to make things right, if they have something, let it go. Let's add some additional change back and forth. And if they end up shortchanging themselves, I will make sure I get... they get all their money. If they'd shortchange me, especially if it's, we're talking pennies or I don't want to destroy that person. I'll let it go. Because I'm concerned about the person. But so there's that aspect. And the other aspect is if people can't add, then more complicated things. Oh, a stimulus check! They have no idea what it's doing to them. Yeah, because the stimulus check is enslavement. That's exactly what it is. Because they're going to hand you money, and it's borrowed money from you and your posterity, your kids. is theft. You know, as I point out, the first stimulus, $2 trillion, whatever, $500 billion went to the general population, which I did not get. And $1.5 trillion went to corporate entities. So you give out $500 billion and you steal $1.5 trillion. Well, it's all theft, but... And then, of course, similar things were repeated with the additional ones. And people are, yay! It's theft, just like Social Security is theft, which I've made that argument already. It's theft. And if people can't add to make change, they'll never know why it's theft. It's a big concern. I got ridiculously long. I picked up a lady today. She's 62 or 63, anyway. Frail, not in great health. But I was trying to do an act of love. It reminded me of Aaron Ketro and picking him up. And I would so love to be able to take care of my wife. Because I love her. And I highly recommend that the short version, scientific differences between genders, or the longer version, the Bible and the science on gender, sex, and marriage. They're on genesisapologetics.shofarnexus.com or genesisapologetics.org, I think it is. It's on their YouTube channel. I highly recommend it. Men and women are different. I know that's hate speech. Men and women are different. And this man has a particular fondness for a specific woman. Okay. I'm so ridiculously long. In a dialogue with my friend Chris, we've reviewed many times, because obviously it's a fairly pertinent verse in 1 John, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, and I've actually done some study on that, you know, what the idea of lust, it's an extreme passion, is, you know, what that, you know, for the flesh and for the eye. So which you can feel, which you can see, the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and of course the pride of life. Aren't I important? Aren't I special? It's all about me. I want to be like God or be God. That's the, you know, pride of life. And, you know, I've examined myself. The lust of the eye, especially wanting things, I've seen that in my, especially in my past, it's tempered radically. My, you know, again, like the idea, a desire for a car. No, I have no desire for a car. None whatsoever. Or, you know, a fancy house, whatnot. No interest. My desire is the Romans 12. You know, as far as, you know, to owe no one anything but love. That's my focus. I'm not there yet, but I'm trying. But the pride of life, it's all about me. I've seen that in myself. And, you know, it's... You know, I've made this the comment before, how my mom would say, "You're better than that." And how I've recoiled from that, because no, I'm not. It's only God's grace that keeps me away from things I shouldn't do. Because without God's grace, I would be doing them. His restraining hand in me is what keeps me from horrendous sin. And for that, I'm grateful. But, you know, it's not just to prevent from happening, but remove the desire. So the lust of the eye, the wanting things, I see that, I want that. That's diminished radically. The pride of life, you know, I see it. For example, the one that's obvious is when I walk, especially when there are times when I'm walking and I'm about to pass a jogger, oh, there's pride in me. And it's kind of like, it's a problem. I can still see I'm less than perfect. But there's also obviously the lust of the flesh, which, you know, it has multiple meanings. But one, obviously, there's the flesh in the sexual drive. And I am grateful, intensely grateful. My passion, my desire is for one lady alone, you know, that lady right there. My assumption, as I say, is I'll never see her again. But my desire, my passion, my joy in another woman is that woman alone. That's God's gift to me and to her. But I don't think she'll admit that. I'm less than perfect. I see the desires I've had, and I'm grateful for how I've backed off. I see the pride thing, how I've backed off a lot, but it's still there. They're all that sin nature is still there. But I want to make it clear. The desire for a lady in me is for her alone. I love that lady. Dorothy Jane, my lady, in this long video, I want to make it clear. Yeah, as I argue, and I will defend it with anyone who will take me on, marriage begins with sex and ends with death. I will contend from that from the Bible. And, you know, by the way, you know, like I say, I think Genesis Apologetics is one of the best organizations out there in the way they express things. The way they express things is superb. But I've seen a couple things that I think are wrong. One of them was they did mention in one of these about sex outside of marriage, which is adultery, or premarital sex. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as premarital sex. You won't find a description of that. There's no idea of a child out of wedlock in the Bible. It's not there. Marriage begins with sex and ends with death. I will take on anyone in rational dialogue who actually believes that the Bible is true. But instead, the institutional church will put up barriers, send the police, and offer silence and a cold heart. But I'm a follower of Christ, and I'm going to seek reconciliation till my dying breath with the institutional church leadership, members, extended family, my kids, and most importantly, the lady I love and adore, with my lady, my wife, Dorothy Jane. I love you.